Basically, we talked about nosei v'nosein ba'amuna, right? Where you go to a store and he says, I'm willing to sell it to you at my cost plus a certain profit. Nosei v'nosein ba'amuna, and you trust him. And the halacha was, assuming that he told the truth, even if you find out later that the item could have been bought for much cheaper somewhere else, you had taken yourself out of the realm of value and gone into the realm of trusting him and allowing him to have his profit. And even though it might have been overpriced, but as long as he didn't do it on purpose, the halacha is you can't claim onah. That was a way, an exception to the laws of onah, that when he says, I'm selling it to you on trust. Trust me that this is what I purchased it for. I'm making a 10% profit, a $10 profit. So then there's no rules of onah. Then we learned that if he lied and he had really gotten it cheaper, so then it seemed from the poskim, at least a few poskim we brought, that even if he sold it to you at the market price, it's just that he had lied. Where we talked about a car, he says, I'll sell you the car for $8,000 and I bought it for $7,000, I'm making a $1,000 profit and it's worth $8,000, but you found out that he really bought it for $3,000. So then, according to many poskim, you have the right to say, you wanted a $1,000 profit? Okay, I want $4,000 back, and you'll have your $4,000. Right, that's what we said. That's the what happens when you're selling it in this method. Selling it on trust, on the basis of this amount is what I paid for it, I want a certain profit. So if you tell the truth, there is no onah at all. And if you lied, if he lied, so then the halacha is you can claim your money back from that difference, even though you were not cheated at all, as far as market price goes. Right, then we said that that cost means not just the cost, it means if he had to put money into it, he had to hire someone to, and then the Rav Shulchan said even his overhead expenses at the store can factor in, right, so that's all included in the cost, whatever it cost him to make a dollar gross sales, whatever percent, that's called part of the cost also. Okay, so tonight, if you got the email, we're going to discuss another similar case. Here, instead of saying that I'm selling it to you for my cost plus a certain percent, what happens, we'll say a case of a house, so similar might have happened in the Chavis Yoyer's time, and this happens all the time. You're looking at a house, and someone says, this person offered me $130,000 and I turned it down. If you want it, you have to beat that offer. And you say, oh, they're offering $130,000 and I want it, so I offer $140,000 and I buy it. And later I find out one of two things. Either I find out that it was overpriced, really the price should have been $120,000, or I find out that he lied and the person never had made an offer at all of $130,000. Right? These things happen. Right? You're buying a car, and you go to the used car dealer, the new car dealer, and you say, yeah, three people come in today. If you want it, you better take it now. Right? What's the halacha then? Right? What's the halacha? So we're going to divide this year into two sections like last week. The first half we'll talk about where the dealer, the seller, was honest. And then the second half, we'll talk about where he was dishonest. Okay, so let's first talk about where he was honest. I'll read you a case, also an early case. This is from the Shuvas, from the Merari Tats, Rav Yom Tov Sahalon. He lived in the 1600s. He has a case like this. Someone was selling an object to his friend, and he told his friend, remember, we were talking, he said, so-and-so offered me $1,000 for it, 1,000 zoos, and I didn't want to sell it to him for that price. If you beat that offer, so then I'll give it to you. And he went, the prospective buyer was smart, he went and asked that plony, did you really make that offer? And he found out that he had. And now he added a little bit more than $1,000 and he purchased it. Right? It was legitimate, but he found out later that it's overpriced. It's really worth $700, $800, whatever. It's not worth $1,000. So what's the halacha? Can he claim a refund? Or can the buyer say, can the seller say, look, this is the same thing we talked about last week. You are not buying it on a cost basis. You're buying it on based on what this person offered. So it's removed from the rules of Onah. That's the Shaila. The Tshuva Rashi says, okay, I have it on the handout. The second thing on the handout. Reuven wanted to sell an object. Oh, by the way, there's no Gemara, so there's no English this week. It's all Hebrew. I'm sorry. Reuven had something to sell. And he wanted 100 zehuvim, 100 gold coins for it. Shimon said, I like that, I'll pay 30. Yeah, like they're way off, right? They're not even close. And Levi was around, and they said, look, let's ask Levi what it's worth, and whatever he says the price is, will be mevatel ardas to him, and that'll be the price. Right, let's ask Levi. And Levi's... What?
Transaction.
It was between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is selling it to Shimon. Levi is over there. I mean, this is the Russian people. And Levi is over there. And let him appraise. And Levi appraised it for 70 zehuvim, $70. The next, and Shimon paid $70 for it. But then, the next day Shimon saw the merchants around him had it for $50. So, he was claiming it's onah. Right? I paid 70 and it's only worth 50. And Reuven says, yeah, but we agreed to set the price based on the appraiser. One based on Levi. And Levi said it was worth 70. So, just like we say, no save and no shame, but Amuna, we're not dealing anymore with market price, we're dealing with my purchase price. So here also, let's say that we're dealing with that appraiser's price. We're not dealing with market price anymore. So the Rush says nothing doing. The Rush says, Shimon could be chazer, Shimon could give it back, and he's entitled to his money back. Right, then, the Rush goes, what happens if Reuven skipped town already and poor Levi's left here? Can Shimon go to Levi and get his damages from Levi? So if you recall last year, we spoke about cases where you hire a worker and he messes it up, like you hire a shochet and he made a treif. So he said you need two conditions for the worker to be pater, right? The two conditions were that he has to be an uman and he has to be doing it for free. So in this case, if Levi was qualified to appraise this item, he just made a mistake, and he was doing it for free, so Levi wouldn't have any responsibility. Okay, but that's just a review from last year. So that's what the Rosh Paskins is Paskin the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Chav Zayin, Siv Chav Hei, that the rules of Onah apply even when the price was set by an independent appraiser. Because the reason why Onah shouldn't apply. So the Marit Sohalon says, based on that, the same thing. What's the difference if I'm basing my price on an independent appraiser, where we say the rules of Onah still apply, or where I'm basing my price on what someone offered to pay for it, right? Even though it's genuine, it was a genuine offer, even though he made that offer, but if it's above the going rate, the rules of Onah still apply. Are you going to tell me, how about Benosin, Benosin, Ba'amuna? We said that if you base the price on what your purchase was, there the rules of Onah are waived, like we learned last week. So that, he says, is because, he says at the very end, I have one, the last line I quoted, it's not like where I said I purchased it, for, I myself purchased it for this amount. There, I'm relying that you bought it for this amount. I'm willing to give you a certain profit. So we're dealing outside the realm of Onah. I want to give you a certain amount of profit. I don't mind that. And I don't care what the market price is. But over here, we're not basing it on anything real. Like someone said, it wasn't a real. Someone offered it. So it's an offer. But that's nothing to do with profit. It's here where, last week, when I'm selling it on trust, where I know you bought it for this amount, I want you to have a certain amount of profit, so there the laws of Onah are waived. We went out of that realm of Onah, we're into the realm of your profit margin. But over here, where it was just an offer, it's no better, and it's worse even, than the Russia's case, where it was a real live appraisal. He's here, we both agree, we'll set it on what his price is, and he made a mistake. The appraiser made a mistake. The rules of Onah still apply. And he can be chozer. He can get his money back because it was more. If it's more than a six, if it's exactly a six, if it's more than a six, he cancels the sale. If it's exactly a six, he gets the difference back less than a six. So then we say it's mechila. Right, so then we said, if you want to do that, then you have to tell him that the market price is such and such, and you have to know how much you're being mochel, right? if you want someone to be mochel something, he has to know how much he's being mochel. You can't just say, well, it might be higher, I'm not sure, you know, maybe yes, maybe not, maybe it's $1, maybe it's $100. You have to tell him the market price is $500 less. Are you willing to be mochel that $500? That's my price. That's the only way you'd be able to get out of it that way. Okay, so that's the first part of the shiur. The first part we've said that when I'm basing the price on that other offer, so the rules of anah still apply, because there's no reason for they shouldn't apply if the price is overpriced more than a sixth, the mekach is batel, exactly a sixth, which we said doesn't happen nowadays usually, then you return the difference in money. If it's less than a sixth, so then it's mechila. So now we go to the more interesting case, or it's probably the more relevant case of where it was a lie. Right? The person hadn't made any offer for $1,000. You're just trying to jack up your price. You just want to try to get more business. You want to get a better price on your house. You're saying, look, I had a contract today for $130,000. I turned it down, or maybe better. I'm holding it. Can you beat that? Do you want to beat that? And then you find out there was no contract at all. There was no offer at all. So the Chavis Yoyer, they did this back in those days. He's also an early Achron. The Chavis Yoyer has a shayla like this. I'll read the whole shayla. I know, paraphrase it. It's not on the handout, just to know what the case was. Levi came to Shimon. He saw that his house was vacant. It's a case of a house. He came to Levi. Levi came to Shimon. He saw Shimon's house was vacant and said, do you want to sell it to me? So Shimon said, give me 500 Reichtaler, German marks, and some shuls they still say, and they make the Misha Beirach, Eser Rot, right? Reichtaler. I mean, maybe they don't, they used to. So, 500 marks, and I'll sell it to you. And Levi says, I'll give you 300. And Shimon said, Naftali came yesterday, and he offered me 350, and I turned it down. And then he swore with the Sefer Torah, they don't do that nowadays, he swore with the Sefer Torah, that even if someone comes today and offers me 400 marks, I won't sell it to him. So, Levi sees, he wants the house, he sees that things are serious, and he gave him 410. He beat the Shua 410. Then, the Lashon of the Chavis Yoyer is, Vahi ha'am kimas loninim. The people were complaining. Shekana bayis biyoker mo'ed, he bought this house, it was way overpriced. Right, he moved in, and what did you pay for it? Oh, I got such a bargain. He was wanted 500. I bargained down to 410, and he said, "That's not worth that much." And he said, "What do you mean? Naftali offered 350, and I just, paid a 60 more, and it was not much more." And they said, "Ask Naftali what he really offered." So he went to Naftali, and Naftali said, "The whole thing is sheker, and I wouldn't have even paid 300 for it. You offered 300, I wouldn't have even paid 300 for that house." So that was the shayla that was, and because of that, Levi wants to now get out of the deal. And that's the shayla the Chavis Yoyer has. I spoke to a nation today, said it happens all the time. And they tell you that, there's a lot of offers on this house that the owner turned down, and you have to beat it, otherwise you're not going to get it. And then you find out that no one's made an offer for a year. It's been sitting there for a year, And what would the halacha be if it was market value? Let's say, that wasn't the Chavis Yoyer's case, but let's say this a similar case. You go to the owner and he says, I had an offer of 130, but I turned it down and beat that offer and I'll give it to you. And you give offer 150 and you find out that it's worth 150. It's the right market price, but the story about Naftali was a lie. But you pay market value and you still got a normal price. You weren't damaged, but you weren't damaged last week either, where he said that, I'm selling it to you for $8,000 because I paid $7,000 and it was worth $8,000. But if you really only paid $4,000, it was under false pretenses, and you say that you can get that $1,000 back. Yeah, you get the $4,000 back, Right? So you weren't damaged, but still you have a right to get it back. So how about over here? Well, we have to deal with two cases. We're talking where he's lying, but the two situations. One situation is where it was costly, and the other one where it wasn't costly. The Chavis Yoyer is talking where it was costly, and he paskin. Nearly, as I have on the handout already, Shimon pater midin adam. Shimon's pater. Meaning, Levi has to stay with the house, he can't get any money back, even though it was overpriced. why. Afapisha Hesel Shimon Boba Armaso, even though Shimon tricked him, fooled him with his device, Shehis power that he was bragging Shanatali Bikishlo Shin Nun Rut, that Naftali offered me 350 marks, but Levi lo shal piv with Nekin Yasa, but Levi didn't ask him before he bought it. V'samachahem Nusei, and he just relied on trusting Shimon. V'yesh lo tarumas ha-chaveiro, so he can have complaints about him, his friend for tricking him. V'yal asmo, and he also should have complaints about himself. Shehem Elohi, then, for trusting him when he was asking derech ha-tagarim, when really Shimon was doing was he just doing what merchants do. They swear they bought it for such a thing, and even though it's not true, and after completely, even though they're doing a bit of avera, but b'dinei adam, Shimon has nothing to stand on. That's what the Chavos Yoreh paskens, because there's no onah, it's karka. And what are you saying? Because you lied to me, but because you lied to me, so what? Where does that give me the right to get my money back? The way the Chavos Yoreh says, why didn't you go find out? Right? You're basing your price on what he said. Why didn't you find out whether Naftali really gave that offer? Right? You have complaints. You have complaints on him for lying, but you also have complaints on yourself for trusting him. Okay, but then the Chavos Yoreh concludes that still he made a shvua, and you know he shouldn't be. He's chai b'din yishamayim to keep his word. He made a shvua, but then he concludes with an interesting thing. He says this halacha is only if Levi already paid Shimon, but if Levi still is holding the money, he says nearly the matzi lemeimer al divrecha shamata. I was basing my actions on your words, and your words that were Natali offered 350, and I want to cancel the sale. So that's a big chiddush, and so much so that the Pesachei Tshuva asks a kasha on him from a Taz. The Taz says like this, I have it marked down there, but he's talking about the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah Paskins of Shaila, that if a Bala Bayis told some workers, work for me for $4 an hour just like I paid your friend, and they agreed, and they found out that he had paid his friends $5, so the halacha is that he has to give him the what he paid the friends, because that's what he said. You paid your friends. When you say four, that doesn't count. Then if he said he tricked the workers and said, work for me for four because that's the going rate, and we find that the going rate is really higher, so they're also, the workers can get that higher rate. So the Taz paskins that this is only because the workers said, oh yeah, that's what they made, so then we're willing to do it. Right? That's what the Ramah's case was. He said, Brahma, Kamash Hasa Chavi Reinu, you're gonna give us like our friends got? So then fine. But if they didn't say that, and he just said, I'm going to pay you the same price I paid your friends, and if $4, and it ends up that he didn't check out from your friends, and he didn't say anything, the worker didn't say anything, so then the worker gets the $4, even though his friend got 5 or 6. And the Taz says, the Raya is, Maisim b'chayom, it happens every day. Sha'adam ochel chavei rechayf, but someone sells his friend an object. Brahman, he says, Kach nosnu li sachze, people offer me this amount, v'lo ratisi limkar b'zasach, I didn't want to sell it for that price. Right, and so I'm, and then you pay more, mamash arkeis, v'achar kach, then we find out there was no such person who had made any such offer. So he says, because of that, you're going to be mevatel hamekach. Right? So the Taz says, in all cases, he says that's business. Business is people lie, and it's up to you to beware. Say, check it out, or at least say, I'm relying on you. If that's what you said, I'm giving you this money based on what you said. Right? That's what you need to do. If you don't do that, so then you have no recourse. Right? So, but anyway, that's what the Taz says. The Taz says that unless you make it into a stipulation, you ask him, you say, yeah, that's what they got paid. In all cases, the fact that the Tagar lied, and we're not saying it's mutter to do that, but the fact that he lied does not give you the right to cancel the sale or get any money back. So the Piskei Shuvah asked, so why did the Chavos Yoyer say, in his case, that if Reuven, that if Shimon is still holding, if Levi is still holding the money, he doesn't have to give it back? Here he didn't make any condition. He didn't say, okay, I'm selling, I'm only buying it on the condition that you're telling me the truth, and I've totally really offered you the 350. He didn't say that. Right? And still, the Chavos Yoyer made a difference who's holding the money. So what's, why should the Taz, according to the Taz, didn't say it makes a difference who's holding the money? Right. So why should it make a difference in the Chavos Yoyer's case when the Taz says whenever someone lies, that's the way business goes, and you don't cancel sales because of that, unless there's a Gilui Milsa. Until now, we're talking where he's lying. We're talking lies. Right. So the Taz says whenever a seller lies, if you didn't show that you're making your sale based on that lie, it doesn't make a difference because people lie, they exaggerate, they say things that aren't true, and it's your job to tell him that I'm buying it on that condition, on that understanding, or check it out. And if you don't, then it's your problem. But that's what the Taz said. The Chavos Yoyer agrees with that. And he will say that in all cases where the seller made a lie and the buyer didn't bother checking it out, he's stuck with his deal. The buyer is stuck with his deal. But over here he says, the Chavos Yoyer holds that since the seller made a shvuah, he swore to it, so there the buyer has a little bit, it's a little bit more of a suffix now, because maybe we don't require the buyer to make a stipulation to say clearly what he holds, on what basis he's making his purchase, because we can say he's relying on the oath. He swore with him, holding a sefer Torah, that this is the truth, so maybe in such a case, we don't require the burden of proof is no longer on the buyer. Maybe it is. So that's why the Chavos Yoyer says that if he already gave him the money, he can't get it back, because we'll assume it's like all of the cases where you didn't show that you cared about what he said, so then the sale goes through. But since there was a shvuah here, and so if you're still holding the money, so then you would have the right to say, I'm not paying you. Right? That's the difference that he makes.
Why is it only if he has the money?
Because I think it's the same, like it's a suffix, so you know, we're not sure in this case. So if I'm holding the money, so then you can't force me, because I have a good case to be made that I wasn't mechuyev to check it out or to make a stipulation when you come with a shvua with a nekitas chayfetz. You know, that's what they're saying. Like that's in the Mishpat Shalom I have on the second side of the handout. He says, "Kol toli kviya lashon." It's all dependent on the lashon you say. The imhaya ikar pisuk adamim kviya shara kvisha macher ploni. That if you are clearly stipulating that you're basing your purchase price on the market price or what this person sold it to you or what he said he was going to buy it from you, that's talia b'din imhana. Then it depends on those rules we said before. You'll get your money back even if it's less than a shtos, even by workers where there's no anah at all. Right? We're saying whatever, you can break the deal, you can get your money back. It's outside the realm of anah now. It's a mekach tos. But if it were avodim ikar pisuk hayikvi a mecha shemachalo, but if you really were basing your price on what he told you he was going to sell it to you, rakshashal so gamkin al shah, you asked him what's the market price, what offers did you get, ukaduma, and then he tricked him, then it's regular rules of ona, because it's there's no grounds. You didn't make it clear that you cared about it. You have to make it clear. Yeah, I don't know if you have to say it in a lashon of condition. You don't have to make it tonight, but it has to be clear umdana, that you are buying it on that basis. The Erech Shai talks about, we'll conclude with two other cases, which aren't exactly this case. We're talking about the case where he offered me such and such, and it was a lie. We'll talk two other cases where we'll see that a lie, per se, does not break the sale. It's usher. But the lie does not break the sale unless there was a gilui milsa, unless there was clearly an understanding from the buyer that he was buying it on the basis of what the seller had said. The Erech Shai has a story, a case happened. Two partners went and they purchased skins from some dealer. And they went home, and the dealer went away. And one of them was holding it, and he looked to see at the skins, and he saw that they were really bad condition. They had gotten gypped. So he's smart. He goes and tells his partner, you know, let's not do this together. Let's say good or all good. Either you buy me out, or I'll buy you out, and we'll just go our own ways on this one. So the second one asked him, well, did you look at them yet? And he lied, and he said, no, I didn't look at them yet. And so he said, okay, I'll buy them. Then he found out, when he got them, that they were in bad condition, and he found out that his partner had, in fact, inspected them, and he had lied to him, and he wanted his money back. So the Erech Shai Paskin, that in that case, it's a Mekach Tovs. Why? Because here the Lekeach asked him. He said, did you look at it yet? Before he agreed to any sale, the first thing he said was, did you look at it yet? Right? He said, you want to buy them? And the first thing the buyer says is, did you look at them? And he lied. So in that case, since there's a Gilei Das, he showed that he cared about it, and he brings this Taz, because the Taz's case also was based on, he said, well, the workers asked, is that what you paid my friends? That's what you paid them? So then I'm willing to do it. And he said, on that basis, it's a Mekach Tovs, otherwise it's not. So the Erech Shai said, same thing over here. Since he showed he cared about it, since he showed he cared about the fact that it was sight unseen and really he had seen it, he has the right to say Mekach Tovs. Then the David Gonen brings a case from Sefer Yehoshua. There was someone selling herrings, and someone went to buy it, and he said, look, I want to sell to other stores. Sell it to me a one gold coin less than you sell to the other retailers, so I can make a dollar profit. And sure enough, he said, okay, fine, but he lied. He really sold to him at the price. He went to the different stores and said, here, I'll sell to you for this amount. They said, yeah, I paid less over there. What are you doing? So the Divrei Gaon brief down from the Sefer that's also a Mekach Tovs. And there also, the Marsham explains, why is it a Mekach Tovs in that time? Because he said clearly, I want to, this is the way the Marsham understands it, he said, because I want to sell it to the other stores. That's why I need that dollar margin. I'm not making a lot of money. I want a dollar margin. And if you cheat me out of that dollar margin, even though it's market price, we're not talking about a null here, even though it's a fair market price, but you lied to me, and I said I was buying it on that basis. So because of that, the Mekach is a Tovs. So to review, I have this little outline at the bottom. We're talking about, English. It just has some English in it. So once again, the main shiur was talking, I'm basing my price to you because I just got an offer for this amount and turned him down. So if there really was such an offer, so then if the sale price was the market price, certainly it's fine. And even if it was not the market price, so then it goes into the rules of a null, that if it's less than a sixth, the sale goes through. If it's exactly a sixth, you pay back the difference. If it's more than a sixth, so then the Mekach is batal. If it's something that has the rules of a null, if it's real estate, so then there's no a null. So it'll be like a regular sale where there's no a null because it was a true thing. There wasn't any lie over there. We don't say it's like no seva nosin da amana, like we talked about last week, because here it was a stomach condition that wasn't basing it on a profit margin. Right? That was the first part of this year. The second part we talked if he lied. So then it depends what happened. If the sale price was more than, it was really an onah type price, so then it's certainly there's onah, because there's nothing to talk about, right? I mean, if there's always onah even when you don't lie. So here where you lied and you overpriced it, so for sure there's going to be onah. There's nothing to talk about. But if the price was less than a six higher, or in the case where there's no onah at all, so then we said the buyer has no recourse, because that's the way merchants do business. They lie, and it's your business to check it out or to demonstrate that you are only buying it under the condition that you stated. Right, so that's what we have to find. Was there a Gilei Das? The types of Gilei Das we saw tonight, was they're asking a question. Oh, it's so that he really offered you that? Okay, I'll beat it. Or if that's the case, I'm going to do it. Or we said, if there's some other outside reason to think that he wants to stop at that price, like we said from this last case, where he wants to make a certain profit margin, then you have a right to, then you have a right to get out of the sale, if you are Megala Das. And then we said, even if you're not Megala Das, we saw from the Chavos Yar, if he made such a strong presentation that he made a shvu with the Nikitas Chayfetz, so then if you're holding the money, so we can't force you to pay it up if you already gave the money. So since you did not give any Gilei Das, then you have to suffer your loss.